Hello and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. In the week that's seen damaging revelations about American intelligence operations, we go back more than 40 years to another major security breach in the USA, the leaking of secret documents relating to the Vietnam War. Simon Watts has been talking to the man who made the Pentagon Papers public.
It's June the 13th, 1971. US National Security official Alexander Haig is on the phone to President Richard Nixon with some very bad news. Nixon always recorded his conversations.
Okay. Nothing else of interest in the world?
Yes, sir. Very significant. This goddamn New York Times expose of the most highly classified documents of the war.
Oh, that. I see. I didn't read the story, but you mean that was leaked out of the Pentagon?
This is a devastating security breach of the greatest magnitude of anything I've seen.
Well, what's being done about it then? I mean, I didn't... Did we know this was coming out?
No, we did not, sir. There are just a few copies of this.
The documents were an internal report known as the Pentagon Papers. These were top-secret assessments by successive U.S. governments about the American role in Vietnam, dating from 1945 to the height of the war.
Each president involved, from Harry Truman on, a total really of four presidents in the study and a fifth one, Nixon, still at work, had lied to the country and to the public and to the Congress on virtually every aspect of the war, why they were there, what the prospects were, what they were actually doing, what the forecast was of what the casualties would be and the costs.
Daniel Ellsberg is the man who leaked the Pentagon Papers.
Each one had known that what he was doing was estimated to be very unlikely to win. And so each one had kept the war going, basically with no other realistic hope than to do that, to keep it going while he was in office and not lose Vietnam during his term in office. Not a very good reason from other people's point of view to be losing 58,000 Americans ultimately and killing several million Vietnamese.
Ellsberg, a former Marine, had spent 2 years in Vietnam as a civilian official. Back in the US, he worked on the Pentagon Papers when they were compiled in 1967 and 68.
In the end, we had some 7,000 pages of top secret material, Joint Chiefs of Staff recommendations and studies, intelligence estimates, and a lot of drafts and actual decision papers from within the Office of Secretary of Defense. There were 47 volumes.
Ellsberg still had access to the papers when he left the Pentagon to work for a security think tank called the RAND Corporation. That's when he began making copies.
Well, it couldn't have been done without the cutting-edge technology of that time in the way of copying, namely Xerox machines. I had an earlier machine which was quite slow, one page at a time, and to make a number of copies so that the FBI couldn't get them all away from me took really a lot of time, and I would work all night, many nights, having taken them out from the RAND Corporation in a briefcase from my top secret safe. A friend of mine, Tony Russo, found me a Xerox machine belonging to a woman friend of his who had an advertising agency. I would take them out from the corporation at night, spend all night copying them, and then bring them back in the morning.
And you had your 13-year-old son helping you with this. Why?
I didn't really expect to see my children except through, say, thick glass in a prison for the rest of my life. So I did want them to have some feeling as to why I'd been doing this and what it was I had done. I knew they would hear various stories that I'd gone crazy or that I was a traitor. And I wanted them to see that I was doing this in a businesslike way, that I hadn't gone mad and was doing what I thought was best for my country. So basically it was a matter of not so much helping me as, you know, participating, watching, seeing what was being done. And that was just a couple of nights. I hadn't meant to bring my daughter into it because she was even younger. My son was about 13 then. My daughter was 10. And I didn't think she would understand it very well. But when we tried to leave her in the car one night, she objected and we brought her up and eventually gave her something to do. So at one point, actually, my son was running the Xerox machine. And my daughter, who was then 10, was cutting top secret off the tops and bottoms of the pages with the scissors.
need your help again. He's got himself in a terrible jam, way down yonder in Vietnam. So put down your books and pick up a gun. We're gonna have a whole lot of fun. And it's one, two, three. What are we fighting for?
Daniel Ellsberg copied the Pentagon Papers in 1969. It was the height of counterculture and growing demonstrations against the Vietnam War. The 40-year-old defense analyst made friends in the activist movement and then became an unlikely rebel himself.
In my case, I did meet Americans that possibly none of my colleagues had met, who were on their way to prison to resist the war for nonviolently and truthfully, people who were resisting the draft, who were protesting and being willing to face charges and go to prison. And that put in my head something that I think just wasn't in the minds of any of my colleagues, and that was the question, all right, what can I do to help end this war? Something, by the way, many of them would have liked to do.
Even with the anti-war movement gaining ground, Ellsberg found it hard to get the Pentagon Papers published. Eventually, in 1971, the New York Times decided to take the risk.
I have to say that I hadn't really expected the Times would come through on that in the end, that they would have the guts, say, to face up to the government on that. And so my expectations weren't very high, and they didn't tell me that they were doing it. So it came to me essentially as a surprise when somebody at the Times called me and told me the building was locked down at that moment because they were putting out these top secret documents on Vietnam. I knew what those were. And so we were already on our way to see Butch Cassidy, so we did that. And then around midnight, went over to the Harvard Square News, where the early copies of the Sunday Times would come in, and got that. And of course, I was extremely elated to see that this was actually happening.
President Nixon responded to the leak by taking out an injunction against the New York Times. Ellsberg then leaked the Pentagon Papers to the Washington Post, with the same result. Now called the most dangerous man in America by the government, he went into hiding, but continued to pass the documents to other journalists.
They were unable to find me. My wife and I went underground for the next 13 days while I was putting out different copies to the other 17 newspapers. So the FBI had what was called the biggest manhunt since the Lindbergh kidnapping, looking for me. And that gave it all quite a good deal of drama, especially because I appeared on Walter Cronkite's evening news show one night during that process while they were looking.
Ellsberg eventually gave himself up and was put on trial for espionage. But the case was dismissed after the Nixon administration used illegal tactics to try to smear him. The Vietnam War continued for another 4 years, ending after Nixon resigned over Watergate. Looking back now, Daniel Ellsberg says he thinks the Pentagon Papers contributed to the president's downfall.
Turned out that an act of truth-telling here and the fear that it caused that there might be more truth-telling with new documents did have repercussions that did shorten the war. If Nixon had stayed in office, I believe there would have been at least a couple more years of bombing, only at the cost of a lot more lives, mainly Vietnamese. So it turns out that telling the truth can have an effect and can be worth the risk that it involves.
Daniel Ellsberg continues to be an anti-war activist. He lives in California.
Witness was written and produced by Simon Watts. This programme was first broadcast in 2012. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.